The scripture reading today will be from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 23. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank God to be here this morning. Thank you for his grace, his blessings that we cannot count. Thank you, Barry, for reading that scripture. If God agrees, my wife will be traveling on the 14th of this month. She's going back to Liberia to see families. So you can please remember her in your prayer as you offer your prayers here. It saddens my heart this morning, but the Bible says we should rejoice hearing about the passing of Jerry. Jerry was dear to my heart and also to your heart as well. But it's shocking. Death is something we can't get used to, but we believe he's in a better place. And also, update from my brother. I spoke to them last week. I couldn't get him, but I spoke to his wife. He was rushed to a hospital about 2 weeks ago. The condition got worse. He wasn't eating. Wasn't talking, and then I called last week and I spoke to the wife, but she said she was on her way to the hospital. But I asked how he's doing. She said she was trying to talk. Little by little. And so I think your prayer is working. I appreciate that. Thank you for your prayer. And I believe God will do his work in due time. This month and the succeeding months we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. We'll have a series of lessons here on the Holy Spirit. And after that, I don't know what else we'll be talking about. As we search for a new preacher, these topics we believe will help us to guide us in getting our new preacher. So Tim, with Ron and myself, we decided that we should treat the Holy Spirit. So that's what we'll treat for this month and the coming month till we go to another topic. So let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we glorify and honor you this morning for your grace. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for making us your sons and daughters. And Father, help us as we listen to your word. Let us not only be hearers, but doers as well. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to speak on the topic, the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. Powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. And Barry, thank you again for the reading. Where John 14, 15 to 23, Jesus told his disciples he was going away and they all got concerned. But he said, I will leave you comfortless. A topic on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not emphasized much, as if I may say that, you know, in the churches of Christ. I've been in the church for 30 years now. In those 30 years, more often we emphasize the Father and the Son and just give a little emphasis on the Holy Spirit. But there are three persons in the Godhead. We got Father, we got Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And these three are one according to the scriptures. And the three possess, they all possess the same qualities, you know, the same attributes. God the Father is God the Father, is God. Jesus the Son is also God. The Holy Spirit is also God. God exists in these three frameworks. I beg you, don't ask me to explain them one by one. I don't fully understand God. Though I may be preaching to you, teaching you, but I don't fully understand God. I'm telling you, nobody can know for the Lord. But he's three in one. Just understand that he's three in one, okay? God is three in one. Praise the Lord. Okay. And he is the least emphasized of the three, as I said. When you go to any church, beside the church, I mean, any church you go to, by that matter, I mean, for that matter, you hear about God, 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 Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And few of the Pentecostal churches will talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, they will put, emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and they also put a lot of emphasis also on the Father, and God, the Son. But Church of Christ, I don't know whether we don't perform miracles, we don't speak in tongues, that way we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person that we need to be talking about also. Hallelujah. Amen. So Church of Christ need to put more emphasis on that third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He is very crucial. He is very, very important. If the church will have to expand its evangelism, its growth for tomorrow, the Holy Spirit cannot be put at the back pew. The Holy Spirit was promised to the apostles. When Jesus came into the world, he chose 12 men. He searched he knew their hearts, so he chose them. I don't know why he chose them, but he knew that, you know, the kind of person they were going to be. And among them, there was one that was chosen called Judas Iscariot. He chose a son of the devil also. He had a mission for him. And I think Judas's mission was to lead Jesus to his crucifixion. So he chose 12 men from different backgrounds. He prepared them for 3 years in the school of Jesus Christ. So they were in the school of Christ for 3 years. Jesus was preparing these 12 men for world evangelism. 12 men. What a privilege. They had a privilege that we did not have. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. They touched him. They felt him. They walked with him. They ate with him. They experienced all of that. What an opportunity. What a blessing. What a blessing. And because he's so interacted with the Lord and got so close to the Lord Jesus Christ, in their mind they were thinking that, you know, this relationship will continue forever. They did not know that Jesus will one day tell them, "I'm leaving." So they are about to hear bad news. Do we have bad news? No, we got a bad news this morning. My friend and brother Jerry passed away. That's a bad news, right? It's bad for us, but it's also good news. Because one day we know that, you know, we'll see Jerry again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will see him in the land of the living. So they thought the Lord Jesus Christ was not doing that. So with all this happiness, all this interaction, working with the Lord, performing miracles and working on water, everything is about to change. Jesus tells them, "I'm leaving." "Lord, you are living with both of you for 3 years?" He said, "I'm leaving, my people." I mean, that was shocking. I mean, just imagine being one of the 12. I mean, imagine for a moment being one of those 12 disciples. One of the 12 apostles. And being with Jesus for 3 years. And then out of the blue sky, he just tells you, "Wonder where, run and leave it, or Alfonso and leave it, or wherever I'm leaving." How will you feel? That will strike you to the heart. You may probably be thinking, "Oh, but my hope is gone. My whole life is gone. My life is over. Because this is the man that I confided in. This is the man that I trusted. This is a man that I left everything I ever had, everything I ever owned. All my riches, all my possessions, and wealth, and followed him. And now he tells me he's leaving." Hallelujah. I mean, that is not a welcome news. I would have felt the same way. Wouldn't you? Yes, I would have felt the same way. But Jesus came into the world for a specific mission, for a specific job. He came to point the world to the Lord God and to die for us on the cross. When Jesus was completing that mission, he told his disciples, "Well, when this is completed, I will leave." That was a shocking news. It was a bad news. Bad news. A news that the apostles were not willing to accept. But whether they accept the news or not, Jesus must go. He has to go. Jesus had to go. He said in John 16, verse 7, "So it is expedient, it is necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you." So it was necessary. It was compulsory that Jesus goes away. When his mission was over, he said, "Well, disciples, I'm leaving for heaven." And they were all sad, troubled by this news. They thought their lives were over. They thought nothing was left of them, because Jesus had been their one and only. Have you ever heard bad news before? Let me see a hand of somebody who has never heard of bad news.
Throw up your hand.
Oh, he's so funny. You have heard bad news, huh? We all had one time in our life or the other we heard some kind of bad news.
Oh, you say you never heard bad news, but Jerry passed. That's a bad news for us. Even though he's up there. So you heard one before.
Thought. Okay, so Jesus gave them the news that he's leaving, and then he brought the good news. He said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit."
I will send you the comforter. I will send you somebody who will, you know, guide you, lead you into all truth, into doing this work of mine, to taking the gospel to the ends of the world. I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm not just leaving you by yourself. I have plans for you. Does God have plans for us? Amen. He got plans for each and every one of us sitting here. We may not know it. All of us have got different gifts. We may not know our gifts. Some had a gift of petition. Some got a gift of preaching. Some got a gift of prayer. We got all these gifts. It's our duty to, you know, ask the Lord of our gift. If we don't know our gifts, there are various gifts. And these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord said, well, I will send you the comforter. Oh. I think their hearts, they are feeling happy now. You know, the guys are feeling very good. So, oh yes, Jesus is not leaving us like that. Comfortless. I mean, he just can perform those wonderful miracles, walk in the water. I mean, we are so excited. And then after 3 short years, he's telling us he's leaving. But thank God he said he's sending somebody. Jesus is sending somebody, the comforter. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the child of God, that powerful presence. God, the Father, He's the source, the beginning, or the beginner of world evangelism. Jesus, the Son, is a message. The message I will take to the world. He's a message of world evangelism. He's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is a power. It's the power of world evangelism. It's the power behind world evangelism. If there is no Holy Spirit, there can be no world evangelism. There can be no church growth. How do you think the church will grow without the power? Is it possible? The Spirit is a power, Church of Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a power behind church growth, behind evangelism. So if we think about all this, you know, how the church will grow, we need to preach the word of God and what have you, the Holy Spirit needs to be emphasized. If we give it less emphasis, if we give the Holy Spirit less emphasis, I mean, the church growth is in trouble. We need to emphasize the Holy Spirit as we emphasize the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. The powerful influence of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. So, Jesus had promised them the Son of the Holy Spirit. And they are all excited. And then, after that, you know, after a few days, I don't know how many days passed, but I mean, in a very short while, then Jesus will go to the cross. Do what is expected of him, to die for the world. And then leave the job in the hands of His disciples. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So do we believe the Holy Spirit is a power? Amen. That's why it says, Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Because He is a power behind the evangelization of the world. If we neglect the Holy Spirit, the emphasis on Him, the dependence on Him, the church will be in trouble. The world will not hear the gospel. He's a power behind the growth. God is a source. Jesus a message. The Holy Spirit the power. Let us not forget that. God is the source, He's the originator. Jesus is the message, the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the power behind the message. He is the power. We cannot succeed in this work without, you know, giving the word to the Holy Spirit. It is insanity
It is complete insanity to think that we can evangelize the world and win the world to Jesus Christ to the neglect of the Holy Spirit. It's like doing something over and over and over again, knowing that you will not succeed, but you continue to do that thing. I mean, it makes you look that you are in sin. So the Holy Spirit is very, very important. He's an important entity of church growth, of world evangelism. As we are teaching about evangelism this month, and my thanks go to Mark. I mean, he gave a beautiful lesson this morning. He was saying something that lessons, oh, I got to see him myself. That's how the Holy Spirit was, right? Yeah, I came this morning, he was teaching, class, oh, but I got to see him my lesson. And I said, well, I just praise the Holy Spirit. I said, well, God moves in a mysterious way. Yeah. And I remember one time, you know, I preached a sermon, you know, the following week, Ron King was not even here. He even knew what I preached on. And he came and preached on the same thing. Oh, God. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Huh? God moves in a mysterious way. He's a mysterious God. So the apostle needed the power to take the gospel around the world. And they used that power very effectively during that time. In Colossians 1 verse 23, we are told the gospel was preached in the whole world of the apostle. I mean, can you imagine that? These guys preach the gospel in the then world, the whole world. They preach the gospel in the whole world. They did a very good job at that. Now let's come to ourselves. Have we done a very good job as the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, and all the denominations included? With all of them included, we have not even covered the world. We have not done a very good work yet. There are millions and millions and millions of people in the world who have not heard the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that. And the only way they can hear that is when the three persons of the Godhead are championed. You can't just say two persons of the Godhead and say, well, church growth, well, evangelism will be successful. No, it won't be successful. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one and they work together in what? Unity. And so, the need to be emphasized, the power behind the growth, the church growth, has to be emphasized also if we need to win the world to Jesus Christ. Are you mad? Are you sad? Are you vexed with God talking about the Holy Spirit? I know you are excited. We are all happy to hear about the Holy Spirit. That's a power. That is a power. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the life of the Christian, is very, very important. We receive it at baptism. It's given us as a free gift. And it's the same Holy Spirit that's also lead us through life. On this journey, our brother Jerry has lived his life and he's gone. Jerry always inspired me, considering his health condition. When I come here on Sunday morning, I will see Jerry. And then we'll meet and joke and play fun, you know what I mean? With that kind of condition, you know, I was inspired by him. And a lot of people in this congregation inspired me as I look at them. Looking at their devotion to coming to church and what have you. Looking at what they have to go through to get here on Sunday morning. I'm impressed. So the Lord, God sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles in the preaching of the gospel. And in Acts chapter 2, the entire chapter has to do with the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his Holy Spirit. But God is all wise. Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says the whole world was present in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
when God gets ready to display his divine power, he has to show it to the whole world. Because God does not welcome excuses. Hallelujah. So the whole world was present in Jerusalem. The whole world was present. People from all walks of life, they were all present. Acts 2:5. And then God sent his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit. And these guys began to speak in tongues. They were speaking in those various languages of the world. As the whole world was gathered there, they came out. These were people from all over the world with different languages. Some of them were speaking Chinese, one chan chan chan. Some speaking Japanese, one yan yan. Some speaking Bahasa, yeah, get me. Some speaking Pala, Ilarabe. Amen. I know you don't understand the languages. But this is tongue, and this is what the apostle was speaking in. And speaking the message of God was full, of course. And 3,000 souls were baptized, converted on that day. Hallelujah. Amen. What a message, what an influence, what a power from the Holy Spirit. 3,000 souls baptized. The power of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. 3,000 baptized on that great day. The crippled walk again. The dead were raised. Even the shadow of the apostle Peter was healing the sick. Hallelujah. That tells you how powerful the Holy Spirit of God is. If a church leaves out the Holy Spirit of God from the church, there can be no growth. The Holy Spirit is a necessary entity, a necessary person that must be emphasized when it comes to world evangelism, it comes to church growth. The Holy Spirit is so powerful in their lives that handkerchiefs were healing people. Can you imagine that? I got one here. I took off my handkerchief and I just wave it and heal somebody. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's how powerful the Holy Spirit of God is. The Apostle Paul used handkerchief. Wave handkerchief and people was healed. The people were healed. Do you think the healing power was in a handkerchief? That power was not in a handkerchief. The Holy Spirit power was in a handkerchief. Hallelujah. Amen. Church of Christ, the Holy Spirit needs to be emphasized as a Father and a Son. If the church is advanced from here to there, as we search for a new Christian, let us look for some of those characteristics. Where is a Holy Spirit filled person that will lead this church to higher height, to higher growth? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit caused the meeting place of the apostles to shake. They were praying in Acts chapter 4 when they were being persecuted. And then these guys met in a certain place and they began to pray. So, God, help us to advance the world. People are persecuted, want to stop this thing. I mean, Lord, give us boldness. And the Bible said at the conclusion of the prayer, what happened? That place began to shake. Isn't it? I mean, tell me, if you were not a Christian, tell me what then was it that was shaking that building like that? It was the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was very powerful in the early church. Let me ask us a question. Then in our time, has the Holy Spirit disappeared from us? No. We still got it. We receive it, our baptism as children of God. But you see, they say a key gets rusted from disuse. If you have a key, you don't put in the door to open the door. What happens to the key? It gets rusty, right? Yes. So if we don't use the Holy Spirit as to be used, I mean, you know, having all the benefit of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will go into quiet mode. when the Holy Spirit goes into quiet mode in our Christian life, then all the weakness begin to come in. We don't want to serve the Lord. We don't want to partake in this. We don't want to do this. We are all weak and we are tired because the Holy Spirit is in a quiet mode. The Holy Spirit needs to be motivated in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. The powerful influence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the child of God. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit was in the early church. And so thousands were won to the Lord God. At baptism, we are sealed. God's put on us his rubber stamp. When we go to the post office, we put stamp on our letter to go. That is a proof of authority that this letter has a stamp and therefore it will go. If I went to the post office and just took my letter plain and put it in the mailbox, if I send to Philadelphia, will it go there? It won't go. It must have the stamp. The Holy Spirit is a seal, is a stamp that God has given us. We need to welcome the stamp. We need to emphasize the stamp. We need to live by the stamp. Hallelujah. Is a seal. David said in Psalm 51 verse 11, do not let your Holy Spirit, O God, depart from me. God, I mean, David knew that if the Holy Spirit of God left him, he's finished. He said, Lord, I know I have sinned in Psalm 51. My iniquity is great. But don't let the Holy Spirit, O God, depart from me. Hallelujah. Grieving the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit in us. We received it in baptism. We are children of God now. But Ephesians 4:30 tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, he goes into quiet mode. And eventually it departs from our lives. And the body without the Spirit, what happens to it? When the body doesn't have a Spirit, what happens? So as Christians, if our Christian body, the Spirit departs from our Christian body, what happens? We have dead spiritual bodies. So the Holy Spirit is a power, the Holy Spirit is a fire, the Holy Spirit needs to be emphasized. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of Jesus, I mean the Holy Spirit of God, the Father? We grieve the Holy Spirit by our sins. God and sin cannot live in the same place, they cannot dwell in the same place. God loves sin and he loves you and myself. But God will not accept our sins. And so God cannot dwell where sin dwells. So we grieve the Holy Spirit by our sins. By practicing the works of the flesh. As all learn in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. You see, the works of the flesh are revealed, which are adultery, fornication, the list goes. We grieve the Holy Spirit by that. We also grieve the Holy Spirit when we lie. Ananias and Sapphira grieve the Holy Spirit by their lies in Acts chapter 5. And the Holy Spirit departed from them and they dropped dead before the Apostle Peter. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we gossip about other people. We say all kind of negative things about other people, but we don't say anything about ourselves. We should rather be talking about ourselves instead of talking about other people. If we gossip about other people, say negative things, that kind of helps to grieve the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit does not like gossip. Praise the Lord. We grieve the Holy Spirit if we are envious and jealous of other people. Because of what they have attained, the status they have attained in life, the riches that they have, the property they have. You don't even know in the first way how they got their property. And then you want the same because we are so greedy, we want everything. Greed, envy, and jealousy grieve the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, we need to desist from these things because these are things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is grieved, it leaves our persons. Then the vacuum is created. We grieve the Holy Spirit by cheating and stealing. We grieve the Holy Spirit by teaching false doctrines. By teaching false doctrine, we grieve the Holy Spirit. By teaching false doctrine and practicing false doctrine. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a prophet, a guy who called himself a prophet. And he had a very sensible church. And he would prophesy to the member that this will happen to you. And, you know, okay, this will happen to you. He started prophesying. And he told a lady, he said, well, you've been married for 10 years. You can't have children, but I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, you'll get pregnant. He said, oh, prophet, thank you very much. That's nice. John Brown, you don't have a job. After such and such a time, you'll have a beautiful job. Somebody will call you for interviews. Oh, yeah, that's good. But then the same guy who was speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, he looked in the audience and saw one guy. He said, well, the Holy Spirit is telling me that I should take your wife. He said, no, I've been believing all that you said, but this one that you just said is a lying spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot tell you to tell me to take my wife. So the Holy Spirit is a pure and truthful spirit. Lying would not take us there. When the Spirit leaves a Christian, a vacuum is created. God is occupying us through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leaves our lives, there is a void. There is a vacuum that is created. There is a deep hole. Because we have grieved Him so much that He departed. He can't live in sin. Everything about us is sin, 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 sin. So the Holy Spirit is vexed. It's okay, bye-bye, Alfonso. You don't need me. I'm leaving. And then there is that big vacuum that created. You know what happens? Satan brings in his what? Evil spirit. The house is clean, isn't it, sir? He brings in his evil spirit. And then that evil spirit is not powerful enough. That evil spirit is going to grab seven other spirits more dangerous than himself. And put those seven spirits in you. And then the child of God, well, let me say the former child of God then. And then the former child of God has come to a place, a point of no return. No prayer can bring him back. That's what the Apostle Peter told us, you know, if a Christian falls away, I mean, it can be hard to restore him. Because the first state, I mean, the last state is worse than the first. Church, as we strive to live the God way, let us strive to live by the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Let us strive not to grieve Him. We grieve Him by our thoughts, by our sins, by our behavior. And we have to win the war for Jesus Christ. We need to emphasize Him. Talk about Him more and more. Praise the Lord. Come to a point of no repair. And then ultimately we are bound for hell. The one who was once a child of God is not bound to, for hell. Because the Holy Spirit, that precious Holy Spirit of God, has departed from him. Because of our repeated and continuous sin. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit endures a man, there should be no more cheating. When the Holy Spirit endures a man or a woman, there should be no more lying, no more sinning. No more false witness, no more cursing. Because the former things have passed away, and the Bible says, well, all things have become new. All things have become new. As I conclude this message, I'm reminded of a certain church in Kenya, East Africa,
called the Breast and Honey Harvest Church. The founder and pastor of the church believes that the Holy Spirit lives, excuse me ladies, lives in the breast of the woman. Can you imagine a pastor saying that? And so the members of that church, you know, the women, I mean, by the way, I mean, the members are all women. They only go in their bra, you know, and they go there and suck the breast of the women and say, you preach the gospel. These are the lies that we have around. Somebody claiming to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit and said the Holy Spirit lives in the breast of a human being. It's unimaginable. If you are here this morning and desire the Holy Spirit, which I believe all of us desire, the power of the Holy Spirit that will drive us to church growth, drive us to world evangelism, drive us to proper Christian living, God's hands are wide open. Jesus' hands are open to accept us. If you also need prayer, you can also come forward. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will take control of your life, or the Lord send a readiness also to accept you. May the Lord bless us and keep us and guide us as we strive on this Christian journey, that He will guide us through His Holy Spirit, that will be people fit for the kingdom of God tomorrow when Jesus returns. May the Lord bless you and keep you and help us to live the Holy Spirit way. Thank you as we sing the song of invitation.